Just a quick disclaimer, this episode of the Front Page Football Podcast was actually recorded last night in full with the plan to post it as one massive preview episode. But given that it would have been almost 3 hours long, and we obviously have a tendency to be to go for way too long on these podcasts, we decided to share our A-League Men's Season Preview pod in two parts. So, without further ado, hopefully you enjoy part one of the latest edition of the Front Page Football Podcast, which will be back right after this. Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. It is A-League week. Happy A-League week to all who celebrate A-League's week, whatever name you've got for this brilliant, stupid league that we all follow. Very much looking forward to it. Probably the best time of the year is that kind of 1 or 2 weeks leading up to round one. The hype is very much alive. We've had some nice promo stuff coming from the league to kind of build up the season. And we're going to build up the season a little bit on this podcast here. We've got a massive show lined up here tonight. And I'm joined, first of all, by usual FPF podcast guest, FPF contributor, Jake Hollab. Jake, how are we?
I'm good. Very glad we're finally at that point of the year where the A-League's back. I just wanted to come already. Let's just get it going. Come on.
You about to cry?
I'm getting really passionate, man. Nah, I can't wait.
Also joining us on the pod is the Oz Football Tactico himself. If you follow him on Twitter or X, you'll know very well about what I'm talking about. And that man is Petr Petrov. Petr, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast tonight. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm absolutely buzzing. I swear, I just like this off season is killing me every year. I just hope it. Something changes, but it never does it?
I mean, we're complaining about how long the off season is, and we're like media people. Imagine the players and coaches.
Must be tough.
5 month long off season, but yeah, we're finally into the final week. Okay, so we've got, like I said, a big show lined up for this evening. First thing I'll just mention as well is we're actually recording this on a Monday night. By the time this comes out, it'll be Wednesday. So that's why we're not going to talk about the Australia-Japan game, which is happening, of course, tomorrow night. And we, of course, did a big preview show, me and Matt, last week about the Socceroos and stuff. So we're not going to be talking about them tonight on the pod. I'm just going to go through, like we do every week on the pod, to start some headlines and some news that's happened in the past week. And then we'll take a break and get into our big segment that we're going to be doing to preview the A-League season called Over Unders. And I'm going to explain what that entails a little bit later in the podcast as well. But let me get started then with some news, and I might get Petr and Jake's thoughts on some of this stuff that's happened in the past week. So first of all, a few A-League men transfers, which went down. I actually thought we were kind of potentially, everyone was done with all their business, but a couple of signings have been made. One of the notable ones was Stefan Kolakowski signing for Wellington on a one-year deal. And also in New Zealand, Auckland have made their final visa signing with the Colombian winger Nader Moreno. And Melbourne Victory also added a South American winger to their ranks, Brazilian Santos joining on a one-year deal from the Cypriot side, AEK Larnaca. And also, staying with the winger theme, Nicholas Milanovic has signed a one-year extension with the Western Sydney Wanderers. He turned down some European offers as well. Jake, just quickly, I know you're like a massive Kolakowski fan, aren't you? Like, aren't you like a... Yes. You're leader of the fan club, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, look, I'm a little biased as what's good. He went to the same high school as me. Oh, and also primary school as well. Strathmore represent. But no, but on the pitch as well, I think very intelligent player, very smart player. I think he's very sort of unique sort of profile. He's a very likes to make good runs, very versatile, can play across the front line. And yeah, I think this is like perfect. Under Giancarlo Italiano, the way he likes to play, very fluid attack. So I'm very, very excited to see. I think he's gonna cook. I think he will cook. I'm very excited.
Are you trying to impress Petter by using terms like unique profile?
Look, I have to impress the GOAT. We've got the GOAT on, so I need to do it. I need to live up to him.
Oh
You
man.
bother me,
In the A-League Women, there was a few signings as well. Perth have been busy. They signed the NPLW New South Wales Player of the Year, Miku Sunaga, from Macarthur Rams. Of course, Stephen Peters had worked with Sunaga, of course, at NPL level, the new coach at Perth. They also added the NPLWA talents, Ella Lincoln and Charlie Wainwright, and Jessica Cowart, the defender, has also departed Perth for an opportunity in the US. So they've been quite busy in the past week. Elsewhere, Sienna Savesca, she's returned to the Western Sydney Wanderers. The Mariners have signed the young ex-Newcastle Jets defender, Leah Puxty. And the Jets also announced that striker Melina Ayres is going to be taking some time away from football this season. So we very much look forward to seeing Melina back on the pitch once she returns. She is an absolutely fantastic striker. Here's the broad news. Actually, Petter, I might get you potentially to comment on this one, but Dario Vidicic is off to a great start in the WSL in England with Brighton's women's team. He's guided them to a win actually over the weekend over Crystal Palace, and they've won three of their first four games. Did you expect Dario Vidicic to do really well overseas? Everyone, I think, was a little bit surprised when he moved.
Should start by saying that as you said, I was also a bit surprised that he got such a big move of his work in Australia. But from what I've seen from Brighton's women's team, I'm not surprised that they're doing well. I think similarly to their men's team, it's a very well organized team squad, and the whole place is really well organized. I think Brighton are one of the arguably the most well-run club in England at the moment. So yeah, I'm not surprised that he's doing well, but maybe a bit surprised that it's right from the off. I think they started with three straight wins, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah.
So no, I don't know which round they lost, but they did lose one. So they're three from four, yeah.
I'm really happy for him. I think we talk about this really often, and I think sometimes it's true, sometimes it isn't, but there's definitely an Ange influence in England currently, and I think in the UK as a whole, and I think a lot more people are looking at Australia as a potential market both for coaches and players. So that's definitely good. I think Dario can have a similar influence regarding the women's game. So yeah, I hope he does well.
Yeah, well, he certainly got off to an excellent start. Elsewhere, in terms of, well, I've put this under the Aussies abroad news, but technically, I guess Trent Bahadur is Maltese now, because he's made his international debut now for Malta in the Nations League. That was in a win over Moldova. So, who would have thought Trent Bahadur playing in the Nations League? Well done. No, in all seriousness, good on him. Yeah, hopefully the first of many more appearances for Trent. Some results, of course, as I mentioned before, Socceroos back in the winner's circle, defeating China 3-1 in front of a record crowd in Adelaide. We just spoke about Dario Vidicic. Well, his replacement, Michael Matriciani, is off to an excellent start for Melbourne City's women's team. They're through to the Asian Champions League quarterfinals. They won all three of their group stage games. A 3-0 win over the College of Asian Scholars and Kaya FC in the past week. Kaya, they beat 4-0. So, yeah, really, really good start for Michael Matriciani, who I guess is hashtag SA great. So, and the final result I wanted to mention here, which I thought was quite interesting, was Auckland actually played the Malaysia national team in a friendly behind closed doors and drew 1-1. And I don't know if that's an expected result or anything, but I think it's always interesting when a club team, you know, matches up well, I guess, with a national team. Some other news, Matilda's squad has been announced for the October friendlies against Switzerland and Germany. Congratulations to Chloe Lincoln from Western United and Daniela Galic from FC Twente on their call-ups. Elsewhere, Matilda's great Elise Kellen-Knight. She's announced her retirement from professional football. So we've just had Claire Polkinghorne, now Elise Kellen-Knight, two greats of the women's game in Australia, retiring. So, yeah, congratulations to Elise Kellen-Knight on an excellent professional career. Who knows? She could still continue playing at an NPL level. So beware of that. And sticking with this sort of Victorian, now suddenly Vic great theme, yeah, is congratulations as well to Jackson Irvine and Steph Catley, who were awarded the 2024 PFA Player of the Year awards in the past week as well. Some really, I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast, but some ownership news items as well. The NBA center who plays the Houston Rockets, Stephen Adams, he's become a new investor into Auckland FC. He's joined the ownership group there. And I think I posted some sort of graphic of him giving like some words of encouragement to the team and stuff. So, yeah, he's very much, I guess, involved and invested. Winston Reed, I think, as well, is a part of the investment group now as well with Auckland. So, yeah, all happening there. And some recent news, which was just announced in, I think, yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, was that Richard Peel, the Mariners chairman, is stepping away after two seasons in the role. And he, quote, is handing the operations and funding of the Central Coast Mariners back to Mike Charlesworth. And there's been some mixed reaction online to that from both Mariners and non-Mariners fans as well. I'm not sure for either of you if that's going to factor into your prediction of how the Mariners are going to go on the pitch later on in the pod. But Jake, anything there that caught your eye that you wanted to comment on? And then we'll take a quick little break.
Yeah, I think especially happy for Dani Galic. It's pretty unbelievable. I think she's 17 or 18. 18, I want to say.
17. Oh, Nate put me on the spot.
Ridiculously young. And yeah, it's unbelievable achievement for her as a
18. Coach. 18.
18. Yeah. Yep. And as Cody says, future Ballon d'Or winner. We'll have to see if she sort of continues on that trajectory. Who knows? But yeah, no, she's had a great start. Twente and got the overseas move and yeah, straight into the team. So massive, absolutely massive.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And yeah, of course, Chloe Lincoln as well. Very much a well-deserved call-up for her too. All right, we're going to take a quick little break just so we can break up the segments of the podcast. When we come back, we've got our big over-unders segment. We're starting with part one. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so the moment you've all been waiting for, A-League Men season preview 24-25. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm pumped. I'm hyped. And we've got something a little bit different for the preview pod this year. So basically, just the background, I am going to be ripping off quite a bit of different segments from basketball podcasts because I am unimaginative and it's just easy for me to do that. And also apologies to the Bill Simmons podcast in this case, because I'm taking the over-unders idea from him. But in all seriousness, this is a really fun segment idea that he does every year for the NBA season. Actually, weirdly enough, he should be doing his for the NBA season in like a few days. So over-unders, what is over-unders? How does it work? So basically, I've adopted the idea for the A-League. And in football, it's a little bit different to basketball. When they do it in basketball, you've got over-unders for wins that a team will have in a season. But for this one, we're going to do an over-under for each team for position on the ladder for this season. So each of us For each team, each of us, me, Jake and Petter, are going to predict whether the team will be over or under their position from last season. And so in the case of Auckland, we'll do sixth as an over-under. And in the case of the Mariners, of course, we can't go over because they finished first last year. So we either take the under or we just say that they're going to finish in the same spot as last year. So yeah, something a little bit different. And hopefully you guys are going to enjoy it. And the other thing I should mention is that we also, each of us have up to three locks. And what a lock is that we're going to lock an over or an under, meaning that we are definitely sure it is going to happen. So for example, if let's take Auckland as the first team, for example, it's sixth as the over or under. If Jake says over for Auckland and lock, then he's definitely sure Auckland are going to finish above sixth on the table. So yeah, I can already see how things are going to get quite fun and interesting with some of our predictions here. So let's get into the first team then. The other thing I've actually just remembered was that if you do think guys that the team's going to finish in the same position, then you can just say that as well. I've obviously got the table up here from last year too. So let's start with Auckland to kick us off. So Auckland FC, first season in the A-League men. Obviously, like I just mentioned, the over-under for them is going to be sixth as a default midpoint in the table. So, Jake, why don't you start? You're taking the over, you're taking the under. What are you doing for Auckland?
All right. Now, I think I feel like this might be controversial as, see, coming in, big investment from Bill Foley and a lot of the sort of high reputation names maybe coming into the side. I actually have them under at the moment. If for slight clarification, it's seventh place, like literally just under. I have them just.
I should preface this. You don't have to say what position you think they're going to finish. You
can just go over under. But I think it's very important. It's very important.
That's fine.
Because obviously there's a big difference between like 13th under and 7th under. Like I think they'll just miss out. I really like the way they've built the squad. I think it's a pretty damn good squad. It honestly might be up there with some of the best. However, all the different names coming together, well, obviously a lot of the New Zealanders maybe would have experience playing with each other, some of the youngsters, but all the other names sort of coming into a new environment. And yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to make a definitive sort of call. But my guess, especially as I'm maybe not the biggest fan of Steve Corica, to be honest, as a head coach, but look, we'll have to see. He can prove us all wrong and the squad could prove us all wrong. I feel like this is a team that could finish literally anywhere. You know, we just don't know yet. But I like the foundations they're building. That's why I have them sort of competing for finals, but maybe they just miss out.
Petter, over under.
I have them exactly at sixth.
Okay.
Actually, I agree with what Jake said. I think they can be anywhere between, like, say, third and tenth. I think their squad's too good to finish in the bottom three, that's for sure. And one thing that I wanted to mention regarding Auckland, I think a lot of people are looking at their visa signings to make the difference, but I think a lot of the New Zealand players are really, really good, and I'm happy that New Zealand are getting another club because a lot of these guys deserve A-League moves, but maybe it wasn't the right time or the financial part wasn't right. I know for a fact that some of them just didn't want to leave Auckland. So that's definitely a positive. I have them at sixth. I think they can finish higher depending on how they start, how Corica has evolved. I think recently he mentioned that he's been across Europe and across Asia too, watching some coaches, how they work. And I think we can expect something a bit different from him come the new season.
Yeah, I'm going to, pretty much agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I've taken the under too, like Jake, mainly because I just think they're a really unknown quantity, right? Like you're just not sure how the foreign signings are going to fit in. And like Petter, you've mentioned, definitely a lot of exciting Kiwi signings that they've made too, local players. But we're just not too sure, I guess, how some of them are going to... some of them we know have played at A-League level before, but a lot haven't too. So we're just not too sure how they're going to adapt, I guess, to the professional level. But the question I wanted to ask for you, Petta, was the foreign signings that they've made. You're kind of, I feel, definitely out of the three of us here, got the most knowledge of some of these kind of random foreign visa players that we sometimes see, sometimes, probably all the time, see in the A-League. But, I mean, in Verstrait, you've got, I've probably butchered his name just then, Gallegos, you've got Guillermo May, Moreno, who I mentioned at the start of the pod, is obviously just signed today. I mean, what can we expect from these foreign players?
It's funny you say that because honestly, I've never heard some of those guys before they joined Auckland. Yeah, that's probably not good for my reputation here. But now, some of the South American guys, I think I tweeted it recently, but I'm happy that clubs from the A-League are actually starting to explore that that talent pool more. Because I think over the years, we've seen some really, really good players come from there. And when I say good players, I mean players that have been considered mediocre in their own countries. But when given a chance to be more important parts of a squad overseas, they've shown that they could be difference makers. I think Daniel Peña's one, we've seen, I think he played in Serie B where he scored one goal in the season before joining the A-League. And we see, we saw his immediate impact at the Jets. So, from the guys that Auckland have signed, I watched Guillermo May sporadically, I'd say two or three times, and the Belgian midfielder. I won't try to pronounce his name correctly. I butchered it too. So about him, I've heard some really, really good stuff. I think he was really highly rated when he was younger. Had some bad injuries, some inconsistent seasons, but I think, from what I know, Auckland rate him really, really highly, and they believe that if they can keep him fit, he can be a big difference maker at this level. And judging by his CV, I think he has the technical capacity to do that. Just we'll have to see if he can stay fit and get used to, it's another cliche, but get used to the harder pitches, different weather and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think it's good that you provided that context with Corriger as well, how he's potentially, you know, undertaken a little bit of a second sort of coaching education to kind of, you know, brush up on maybe some new ideas to take into this role. I'm keen, you know, maybe we see him use something that isn't a 4-2-2-2. That's also possible. And you know, yeah, I'm just keen to see like what sort of, I guess, flavor he puts onto the squad. Like what, how are we going to see them set up tactically? Are we going to see them be, you know, quite aggressive, maybe off the ball? Are they going to look to be quite dominant in possession? Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. The other thing as well is Jake's favorite goalkeeper is obviously a part of them too, and that is Alex Paulsen. I mean, we just saw Alex Paulsen have, you know, probably the biggest impact, arguably the biggest impact out of any individual player had on a team last season. I mean, you look at, what was the stat? I mean, Petty, you know this, like with the expected goals, like how many?
Yeah,
like
he was,
He
was top of all the charts, basically, goalkeeper charts.
Yeah. So, like that almost, something like that, I think I said this on a pod a couple of weeks ago, but like having a good goalkeeper in the A-League, this is one of my things for like MacArthur, for example, why MacArthur for me, like a pretty solid team. I mean, we'll get to them later, but just having such a good goalkeeper who can win you matches and, you know, win points essentially could just be enough to get them in the six as well. Jake, what you feel Paulsen's going to, like, it'll be fine. He'll just kind of pick up where he left off with Wellington.
Yeah, I'm interested. Firstly, it's honestly like as great as it is to have him back in the league, I'm also kind of annoyed about it because like he should be playing better, you know, for higher than this, you know, after the season he had. Like it was ridiculously good. He should be playing championship, whatever. But look, that's not the case. But first and foremost, I'm kind of disappointed. I don't love him in that sense anymore because I'm like, man, you shouldn't be here. You're too good for us. Like, leave. But anyways, it will be interesting as look, ultimately it's just going to be a different system. I really like the way he was used under Italiano. I thought like the ball playing, especially the aspects like that, were excellent. Maybe, for example, this season we haven't maybe seen him maybe coming off his line a little bit more. Obviously, the way that Wellington played very deep. Maybe that's something we can see this season, see him maybe develop that side of his game because I think that's the one thing that's maybe unproven with him. But yeah, like, you know, as Petter said, you know, he's ranked on top of the charts for all the categories, you know, in goalkeeping. So look, in theory, he should clearly be one of, if not the best keeper again this season. But look, I guess every position, you know, on the field, you can have, you know, an off season. You know, maybe he just doesn't have the same fire in his belly. I don't know. But it on paper, it's a ridiculously good signing. And even behind him, the backup keeper, yeah, Max Woon, he was a, you know, New Zealand international keeper as well. They've done excellently well. So yeah, they've built very well. But again, it's just on paper for now. Let's see it in practice.
Petter,
Yeah, honestly, just one for the headlines. I think not sure if you guys know who's the current Bournemouth keeper. Do you know?
Kepa Arrizabalaga.
Oh yeah, Kepa. Yeah, true.
Yeah, he's not a better keeper than Alex Paulsen.
Oh wow.
Wow.
You know what?
Well, me, well, Petter, that's the other thing about me and Petter have in common is that we're both Chelsea fans. So we've seen the worst of Kepa Arrizabalaga,
Honestly, he's not, man. He's not.
Wow. Bang.
I don't want to put my name on the line, but I think he. I honestly think Paulsen has a higher ceiling than Kepa
Wait, so you mean
Arrizabalaga.
just to clarify, are you talking ceiling or are you saying right now?
No. Ceiling,
Oh,
obviously.
okay. That's
Yeah,
probably
no, I think that's
reasonable.
fair. And what 70 million, well, £70 million, sorry, goalkeeper there. So that's, you know, that's no mean feat.
Yes, sadly, market value doesn't equal quality these days.
Very true.
Mihailo Mudrik, I'm looking at you. Anyway, sorry. Sorry. I'll save that
Refrain,
stuff.
refrain, refrain.
I'll save that stuff if I get invited on some sort of Chelsea podcast in the future. Anyway, let's one last thing with these ones, guys. No one is locking any of these.
Nah. Chalky.
Better. Oh, no.
No, I don't think this one's definitely too uncertain for a lock. Okay. Perth Glory. Perth Glory's next. Possibly, potentially one of the most intriguing teams going into this season. Jake, over under, what have you got? Sorry, Perth's over under is obviously 12th because they finished bottom last year. So over under.
Funnily enough, I've actually just got them same, just 12th again, to be honest. Very specific, but yeah, I think they'll probably aim
Whoa.
towards the bottom of the league again this season.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know. I love Zdrilic. I think he's a looks to be a really, really good coach, but I don't know. I think it's still very, I don't know. I want to maybe a whole season sort of proven it. And but I think, for example, maybe a tough season this one round, but next season, if they stick with him and sort of keep going, I don't know. I feel like there could be some growth, but that's just me right now.
Petter?
I have them over, and I think I'll walk this one.
I'm gonna agree with you. I've gone over and locked it too. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, I think just looking at the table, I think that's one of the few teams I'm completely sure about because, as we know, like this league is incredibly hectic, man. But yeah, I think squad wise, coaching wise, all due respect to Stash, I think. It just wasn't the right time for him to go to Perth. And ownership wise, that's like the most important one. I think they're looking at a much, much better place at the moment. And Regarding Zdrilic, the most important thing for me, I think he's going to get them incredibly fit compared to the last, even maybe more than three seasons. So, yeah, I think, one, they will be very, very solid, and I think they'll secure most of their points at home. I think they'll be very solid at home. So we know that home advantage is a big thing in the A-League when you have so much travel. So I think I see it, at least three clubs that won't be ahead of them. So yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I think I'm locking in the over two, and I think first of all, like it can't get much worse probably than last year. I mean, weirdly though, with last year, like, you know, they had that period in the season where, you know, they kind of had like a mini revival, and then there was the crazy high scoring games. And I should say, like, I think they're going to be over. I still don't think they're going to make finals, because I think away from home, there's still going to be that struggle. And also, I think, and, you know, better, I'm sure, like, you can comment on this, with the system like Zrilic is probably going to implement and the way they want to play, it might take a few months to kind of, you know, really get up to speed. I mean, we even saw that, like, in the Australia Cup, for example. You're kind of cruising after 20 minutes against an NPL team in Morton City, and then bang, flick of a switch, and you know, they're conceding cheap goals. For me, it's the defensive side too. I think they're probably going to leave themselves a bit exposed with how much they're going to press and how much you know, the aggression they're going to have off the ball. That, yeah, I'm like, if they, like, let's say like a Sydney away, they're going into a game like that and they're like, we're going to press, we're going to go for it, and they might have some success, but they might also get burned a couple times. And that would be my concern, my main concern with them. But, you know, you're right. They're definitely going to be fit. There's no doubt about that, right?
Yeah, I think I'm just happy that we're going to see more high pressing teams that want to go forward, want to press, want to be intense in their approach. And I think Zdrilic, he took a lot of time being not second fiddle, but being assistant to some really, really good coaches and working in very well-run sporting projects. So I'm happy that he's finally taking that next step. I didn't expect that to happen at Perth, but I'm happy that he's there, because I think they're going to give him a lot of... He'll have the platform to work with what he has, but do it his way, if that makes sense. So regarding the defensive part of the game, as you said, yeah, that's going to be a worry, at least at the start, when the team's not clicking or they're still getting used to his system. But I think here's one of the positives when we talk about the long off season. I think for them, that off season was a positive, because they got a lot more time to get used to a new system that's completely different from the one they played. So I'm really excited to watch them, really.
Yeah. And in terms of, yeah, we mentioned foreigners with Auckland. They've got Lewis Kanga, Anas Hamzawi, this Christian Caicedo, which a lot of people seem to know nothing about. So he could be unbelievable or he could be really bad. It's kind of just a really unknown quantity there. And they've got a whole bunch of exciting youngsters, some that they've brought in from clubs east in, like from MacArthur in Abdul Faisal, from Western Sydney in Adam Bajaria and Nathaniel Blair. But also they've got a couple of good local players that they've kind of brought through too, like Magic Adunmi, who was the one else? Oh, Kwan No as well, is one to keep an eye on. I've heard a lot of good things about him playing with Glory's NPL team. So yeah, Jake, what's so you said, yeah, you said they're going to finish 12th, and I'm somewhat perplexed by your thinking there, because like, do you just think like there's a lack of quality there, or maybe, yeah, maybe the defensive issues will be, you know, really bad, or what's the thinking there?
A bit of both, I'd say. First, yeah, quality wise, obviously it was probably a lot of hype with the new owners coming in. I think people were sort of expecting them to, sign the whole league and, become a dominant power. Obviously, that's not going to happen. It's going to take some time to sort of maybe build back to sort of where Perth should be, quote unquote. But no, look, I think there were some good signings. I think Kanga, for example, looks really, really good. It looks like a good, solid centre back that's going to, maybe iron out some of the defensive issues they're having. But yeah, a bit questionable some of the other ones, like Hamzawi, for example. From what I remember, he's played like third division Belgium, hasn't really been playing properly for a while, like at a good level. So that seems a bit strange. I know,
Caicedo, Christian Caicedo.
No. Well, even Caicedo's another one too, where he wasn't necessarily playing at the highest level either. But again, it's like, we've seen Tulio, we've seen Docker, for example, at Central Coast. Like you just never know, sort of the levels, I guess, sort of comparing there. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a solid squad. It's not necessarily really pulling at me, but I think that yeah, I just feel like it's gonna be a season where they're going to play a lot of good football. They're going to play a lot of promising football, but I just feel like maybe the results just won't fall their way. They're just going to leak, maybe just one too many goals in a few games and just lose a game unluckily. I just see that for Perth. I think they're going to play really good football, but I don't know. Like the 12th position, by the way, I think the league's going to be super competitive this year, super tight.
Yeah,
So
big
a
time.
12th honestly might not be that far off finals. I feel like that could be sort of there, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's, again, very competitive. Anything can happen. I honestly can see Perth even making finals potentially if it really starts clicking, because I really, really like Drillich, but I think maybe one season where it'll be a bit iffy.
Yeah, well, one thing as well that's interesting about them is you do have like one of the best strikers in the league,
Of
just
course,
sitting there,
Kanga, yeah.
and like maybe if you can just get one or two other contributors who can chip in with 8 to 10 goals, like that's surely enough goals to go around to get them in the six, maybe. Like there's, you know, it's a league like this, the margins like that can have such a big impact. Peter, I think you were going to say something, but I also wanted to ask you just about Faisal too, because you know, Stan Lazaridis, who the new football
Basil.
director, who by the way seems very happy that they've got Zrilic, which I think is a good sign for Perth. But he also, you know, made sure that he got the aleagues.com headline of, you know, Faisal's like Mohamed Salah. So can you shed some light on how much Abdul Faisal is like Mohamed Salah or not at all? And then that was my question.
He also said that Bugarija is like Hristo Stoichkov, who's the greatest Bulgarian player ever. So I'm
No.
definitely looking forward to that. What I wanted to say before I forget it, just keep an eye out for Luis Kanga's free kicks. I think he has a tendency to shoot from really, really far out. So we can see some bangers from him, I think. In regards to Faisal, I hadn't really seen much of him prior to the Australia Cup, and I'm shocked. He looks absolutely amazing, really. I don't think his profile is exactly the same as Salah's, but he's definitely really good at in tight spaces. I think he's one of those wingers where isolated 1v1, he has so many exits. He can beat you in every side. He can go have bypass with body feints, tricks, go be quick, be smart. He can cut in, he can go to the byline because he has that trickery and he has the pace, especially in small spaces. I think he's going to be a problem for fullbacks in the league, definitely. And I'm really impressed early on.
So note to Glory fans, not quite Mohamed Salah yet. Okay. Maybe in a few years, but not quite. All right, let's move on. Western United's next. Jake, again, over under for Western United is 11th.
Yep. Again, I have them remaining 11th again, which is I didn't even realize that
You're
because
being
obviously
so
it's a new
boring,
team
man.
now.
Come on.
No, because I obviously it's a new team now, so I kind of forgot that. Oh yeah, third bottom now. Actually, it technically is the same as second bottom, so that's quite funny. But yeah, I think again, have gone very youthful this season, which I personally love. I think it's going to be really good. We're going to like their squad is stacked. Like there's so much talent in this squad. I really, really like it. But again, I just probably not enough quality to, yeah, like I'd almost have them as a lock to not make finals. Like I just don't think they're not going to reach that high. But I think, yeah, they'll probably sort of be competing this season. I think they'll have a good solid season. Slight improvement, I guess, if you look at it with a new team coming in. But yeah, I don't see a lot of sort of, well, ceiling, I guess you could say. Like I don't see a high ceiling
Yeah, so
as
yeah,
United,
or
but
you're saying like a lot of their players have a high ceiling,
yeah, a
but
lot
for
of the players have a high ceiling, but like them as a team being so youthful and just not having that quality, and sort of that maybe the more experienced players. Like for example, at the back, like Tomoki Imai and James Donaghy, like solid defenders, but you know what I mean? Like it's just not inspiring. And then your marquee sort of
Jay,
signing.
you've done this based on like it's like vibes based analysis. Like, does it make me excited to watch them or not?
No. Is it even as footballers, to be fair? Like, for example, Ibasuki, I think is a good signing, but it's like it's not like he's a like out and out target man. You've got to feed him. So I don't know. I feel like that's but it is very it's a big emotions for Hiroki Ibasuki, or
Hiroshi, yeah. He's
I
a,
think
well,
he's
I'll
average.
segue to Petter now. Good Petter, give us your over under, and then what's the Ibasuki? You're a big fan of Ibasuki.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm
Maybe,
agreeing
I mean,
with
you
you.
might have
I think.
tweeted something at one point and I just didn't follow it, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, and I got some stick for it because he scored a hat trick in on the next week. But
That would have been
I
the
just
Unite round game against Sydney. Yeah.
I've watched Ibasuki over the years before he joined the A-League, and I think he's a serviceable striker, but looking at the reaction from some of the Adelaide fans being so devastated that he's left, I don't think he's that big of a difference maker. Just he's a Carlo Vela type of striker because like it's been like crosses and that's it. But I think I heard don't want to quote him, but I think I heard Robbie Coltrane say that Carl wanted a more versatile forward, and that's why they were fine to let Ibasuki go. And I think that's the right way for them going forward. And I think Western United are just looking for a Pejovic replacement still, and he sort of matches that profile. And don't get me wrong, I have nothing personal against Ibasuki. I think. Especially last season, I think there was a period where he did really well. I just don't think his overall game's great for this level. At this point, he's like 35, if I'm not mistaken. So it's completely normal for Adelaide to move on. I think he can do decently enough for Western United, but I have them under their last finish. Sorry to their fans. I just think based on their squad and tactically, I don't think they've shown any sort of evolution over the past 3 years since they won the grand final, and they've lost a lot of crucial players. And I think if they want to go upwards, they'll have to do really, really well to keep all their players fit, and they'll need a lot of youngsters to perform at a really high level.
Yeah, you're right. They've got a bit of an imbalance with like the squad ages. You've got a lot of 30 plus guys, but then you've got a lot of under 21, under 23. So, you're relying on a lot of guys who have primarily played like NPL football, NPL youth football, in their careers thus far to make that jump, and then relying at the other end for those older guys to stay fit and healthy, and they've got to perform. Too, and Ibasuki's 33, so you gave him a couple years there. By the way,
Sorry for
just pouring it on, man. But
To be fair,
nah.
he plays like a 40-year-old, to be fair. That man is the slowest in the league by far. I'm so confident.
I think, yeah, I'll give my. So I'm agreeing with Jake. I've gone same position as well, not over, not under. Petter, by the way, did you want to lock the under, or you seemed like you sounded like you were edging towards a lock, but
I imagine, but I have two others that I'm pretty confident on. I just and another thing, I just wanted to say sorry to Ben Garucho, who's been named captain. Congratulations to him, but I'm sorry for my predictions, my friend. I'm really sorry.
We love your podcast. And actually, I thought Ben Garuccio played well last year too. But
Best,
yeah.
I'd say best left back in the league. We'll give him that,
Ooh,
I reckon.
interesting. Okay, I actually haven't looked at it. Yeah, looked at it myself. But the other thing we haven't mentioned here is, of course, they are going to be playing. I think, Jake, is it all their home games will be at Tarnit? Or
Yeah, believe so. Yeah, I haven't heard otherwise. Yeah.
So they're in their, new spiritual home for pretty much the whole season. Like, do either of you think that could have a massive impact? Or like, because it feels like slowly but surely they might start to build a bit of a actual genuine fan base that can bring a bit of life, I guess, to them off the pitch.
Yeah, well, I guess sort of I was able to attend a couple games sort of near the end of the season when they had that all built, and yeah, the vibes were great. Like honestly, like we're talking vibes before based on vibes, but like honestly, it is a big thing, especially sort of like associated with fans and sort of getting there in there, because yeah, it was just a good sort of atmosphere around there. Obviously, there's a bit of excitement with all this going on, the new stadium, and yeah, they're sort of really starting to reach out to fans, build a bit of a sort of core fan base, and yeah, I don't know, it was really really good sort of atmosphere there. I heard Donks talk it on another podcast, like sort of how it's really the only thing in the area. It's like a really special sort of thing, and it's sort of like a becoming like a bit of a communal sort of hub for people to go to. So I don't know, I think it's gonna play. Look, I don't think it's this is gonna propel them into competing for finals or anything like that. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's good building blocks, and especially this season with a lot of youngsters going to be coming through. I think almost everyone can sort of build together in a way. You have the fan base, the players. It can sort of be. I feel like these seasons are going to be sort of for growth and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. Again, probably not, revolutionary in that sense. But yeah.
Yeah, we're just to quote Jake on talking about Tony Popovich's appointment of Socceroos coach. We're just not excited. We're just not. So,
I'm excited for the youngsters. Like I have to, as the founder of the Matthew Grimaldi fan club, I have to
you
shout
are.
him
You
out,
are.
because
Yeah, you are the
and
founder of that club. True.
I'm pretty sure Pet is my sort of my co-owner, to be fair. We're very big on him, but no, I think him, Najdovski is really good as well. Bozanovski's impressed me. Even Vidmar, for example, I think he's had a good build season. I don't know. I think there's a lot of like West United being really really good to watch this season, because they've got a lot of good youngsters. But yeah, probably not. They won't finish the best, though.
All right, let's move to Newcastle. Newcastle Jets. Their over under is 10th. That's where they finished last year. Had a bit of a weird year. I'm like looking back at it now, and like they only lost 11 games. I know I'd say only, but that's, less than half the games they lost, and they finished third bottom because they drew so many games. And they're like, Jake, your last line actually there about Weston, you said, like, what'd you say? Like they could be,
Yeah, as in they'll be great to watch, especially with youngsters, but they're not gonna, sort of finish high necessarily.
I almost feel like you could kind of apply that same line to
Yeah.
Newcastle, but
Copy
I'm
and
going to go back
paste.
to you again. So over under on Newcastle, what are you taking?
Yeah, again, I swear to God, I have not sort of meant this, but I've had them the same again. I made this table before I even thought of this concept. I didn't even look at last season's table. I was just like, it was just vibes. I'm like, yeah, I reckon there. But I don't know. I think Newcastle, I liked sort of what
Stick them
Stanton
there.
was. Wait, what was I, sorry?
Yeah, just stick them there.
Just
Who
put them
cares?
there. Like, just play it safe, man.
Because, to be fair, I feel like you're better off picking the A-League table with vibes, because that's just the league itself. You know what I mean? It's like you just don't know what's going to happen. But, I feel like I kind of put them there because I personally like sort of what Stanton's building. Maybe not enough, too. Because, again, I just don't think the quality is there to sort of help him out, sort of propel to maybe a further, final sort of level. But I think it's a good young group. Again, it's very similar sort of, they're basically just the New South Wales version of West United. Sort of, they know they're probably not at the financial, for example, resources wise, able to compete with a City or a Victory, and obviously in this case Western Sydney and Sydney. So they're sort of sticking, maybe to the youngsters that may be coming through, for example, their academies. I know, for example, they picked up Oscar Fryer. He's a talented youngster. Maybe
Oscar
starts
Fryer's
to run.
injured, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's injured. But no, but he'll you hope he gets fit. But even Scar Sellers, for example, another one, Bayless from Central Coast, like they're picking up a lot of the for example, academy players of those teams and building with them, which I think is a decent approach. They're sort of making use of what they have. But yeah, again, very very similar to Western United. I feel like they're pretty interchangeable. Like I'd copy and paste a lot of it, to be honest.
Petter?
Again, I have them a slight under, just two positions down. I think the entertaining parts. I was going to say the exact same thing actually. I think they are going to be really entertaining, and it's basically down to those two factors. Once a bit the slight lack of quality and experience, and the other is the fact that they are going to use a lot of youngsters. So basically, I think, as Jake said, it's just Stanton's doing a really good job with what he's given. And I'd expect another youngster exploding similarly to the way Clayton Taylor did last season. But I just don't think they have a high enough ceiling, to use this phrase again, that to just push for finals.
Yeah, I think so. I've actually gone the exact same thing as you, Pat. I've taken the under, and yeah, I think they'll finish two spots lower than what they did last year. But I think it's going to be more of a reflection on probably like some teams just being better. Yeah, you know, I don't think like I actually said it throughout all last season. I remember coming on the pod and basically saying like I think Stanton's doing a pretty decent job, but like no one's talking about it because they're just, you know, pretty irrelevant in terms of results. But you know, they played good football in a lot of games, I felt. And where they probably missed out was, you know, that clinical edge in the final third because they've got a lot of inexperienced kids who just aren't the finished article as players yet. I think one thing's interesting we haven't mentioned, but Thomas Aquilina had an excellent Australia Cup campaign. And remember, like, he was using him as a 10 last year, and everyone was kind of like, why on earth is Thomas Aquilina playing as a number 10? Like he's played as a fullback his whole career. And then now, like you're just seeing like over time, just kind of getting that instruction, and now he's kind of seems to be doing really well in that role. But yeah, I don't know, Petter, if you had any thoughts on that in particular. But just I think there's some things here where, you know, with certain players, I think he's, you know, Clayton Taylor obviously is like a good talent as is, but I think he's been able to, you know, mold him and help him too. You've got someone like Justin Vidic who didn't feature as much last year, but potentially could be given that trust a bit more this year. And also now Ryan Scott, we didn't mention, but had an excellent year last year, I felt. And they've possibly got like, you know, one of the better keepers in the league. Which is always a nice thing to have. But yeah, I think they could actually, or oddly, like what they won six games last year. Like, could they win seven or eight? Maybe, yeah. And possibly still be in the same sort of spot. Yeah, potentially. The other one I wanted to ask you about, Petter, was the Brazilian player they've signed, Welissol, because I'm not sure again if you know too much about him, but I've seen like some stuff, you know, on the Twitter sphere, of course, that like in preseason he's looked really good. I think they played the other day. It might have been, I'm not sure if it was with the friendly against Perth or they played Sydney in a friendly and lost 3-2. And like Welissol had a lot of good sort of positive reviews around him, but I'm not sure if you had anything on him or anyone else, I guess, in the squad for that matter.
It's interesting. I have a former colleague who's really focused on Brazilian football, and I asked him about him, and he said he really didn't get the enough time to be properly assessed when playing in Brazil. But at the same time, there was some obvious quality there too. So I think he can be potentially that type of player that we mentioned earlier, someone who hasn't been given the chance in his home country, but maybe here he can have not explode, but can have a decent season for the standards of the league. And another thing I want to mention was, yeah, it if Jets want to challenge for a better position, they'll have to do really well to replace Stamatelopoulos. I think the goals that he scored last season, he was basically, I think, the difference maker between them finishing dog bottom and being up there with the slightly better teams. But yeah, I think, as I said, I expect a couple of youngsters to export. The Aquilina thing is interesting. A couple of years ago, I had a conversation on with someone on Twitter, but I remember saying that he has a bit of Trent Alexander-Arnold in him, and I'm not comparing quality here, but in terms of profile, I think maybe that's one of the reasons why he's been playing higher, because he has an excellent cross on him. He can make a difference. His chance creation numbers are decent, but I don't think he's a great defender 1v1. I think he gets called out at the back post a couple of times in last few seasons. I think his final season with the Wanderers was a bit shaky defensively too. So maybe that's one of the reasons why Stanton's been playing him a bit forward.
And they've also got Lachie Rose has come in. Eli Adams is another young player who's come in. Scarcella, yeah, like Jake mentioned, could be interesting to see how he goes on loan from Sydney. And then also, I think for them as well, first year under, of course, new owners, they finally have that situation resolved. So they can really like actually focus solely on the football. Which is nice. And the only thing is, like, I feel like if I'm a Jets fan, I should just be content with, let's see some development essentially in the team. Let's see a style of play that we want to see and that is actually going to be working towards, some results in the future. I think if I'm a Jets fan and I see that, I'm going to be content probably with this season because I think, like we've mentioned, the quality just isn't there in their squad yet. But, they've also got guys that can improve. Like Mark Nats is a player I really like. And, even someone like Chanchar has been in Europe before. So, yeah, they're another interesting one. Jake, did you have anything else to add on the Jets?
Yeah, well, even one like to add there is Costa Grozos, who's still sort of, I think, 24 now, but he's going to be captaining the Jets this season, which is, pretty interesting to see. A 24-year-old sort of get that chance. But yeah, I think he had a really good sort of, I was very iffy on him the season before, but I think he had a really good solid season, established himself as probably one of their most consistent players. And yeah, I think he can maybe even have another jump up next season, especially leading the team. So he's going to be good. Even another one, I sort of add the list for some of the ones they've grabbed from Sydney, but I think you went to Apia before, was Ben Gibson. He's a young striker there. So he even looks good. I think he had a really good season in NPL New South Wales. Oh no, I think there's a lot of really good pickups have sort of made there. Even Natter, I noticed he played defensive mid, I think, against Perth, which is interesting because I feel like that maybe, like, he's not the physically the best sort of centre back. He's, maybe not the biggest and,
I just feel like he's really
strongest.
underrated. I don't know if that like
Yeah.
no one
I
really
think that
talks
gets
about him,
better.
but he's just a good player,
Yeah. Because I think it's because, yeah, he's just not the most physical centre back of all time. But I think on the ball, he's pretty good and he's, very mobile and quick too, which I really like. So maybe, yeah, moving him a little bit forward, sort of in the, defensive midfield, in a pivot, let's say, with Costa Groza. So I don't know. That could be something to keep an eye out for, especially because they brought in a couple more centre backs. But I don't know. I think they're as a team, they're not going to be the best, but I think individual players that are still going to be developing and growing, I think it's going to be good to watch them.
I think Nader's actually underrated when it comes to fan opinion. But from what I've heard, I think clubs rate him really highly. There was a lot of interest. I think from the other Sydney-based clubs, so should be said that they did really well to keep him and give him a new contract.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, there was some interest from Sydney FC in Mark Natter. You can see that he's definitely valued. And also, I should mention their youth team in the NPL, well, in the third division NPL 2 in New South Wales. They went undefeated this year. They've got a few players who've been signed to scholarship deals. as a result of that. So who knows? Keep your eyes peeled potentially for anyone who emerges. All right. Also, so Petr, I'm not locking that. Are you going to lock that or?
Nope.
No, yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Brisbane Roar. Now, Brisbane Roar's over-under is 9th. Jake, yes. Are you going over? Are you going under? Or are you going to, for the 4th straight team, take the same position?
Yep. Now, this one changes it. It changes it. And maybe a little controversial. I feel like they're getting a little bit of hype recently. But I have them under and I actually have them bottom at the moment, which might sound harsh. As obviously we've mentioned a lot of the maybe difficulties some of the other teams were expecting to have, but I don't know. I'm just not keen on Brisbane. I think some of the signings they've made, like they're, you know, for example, Struick, that's obviously probably the big one at the moment. But like, if you look at the sort of the track record he's actually had, I believe he was playing the second division of Netherlands, didn't really get a lot of game time there, like just didn't really look to set the world alight there. Obviously, he's been playing with Indonesia, which is quite impressive for a young player, and obviously has that big following already. But I don't know, like I'm seeing people say, oh, he's the best young striker in the league and stuff like that. I'm like, if we look at his actual track record here, I'm just like, I don't get it. Like, yeah, he's hype, but like, let's see.
Could you say that there's a striker in their squad who's also young and better than him?
Exactly. Thomas Waddingham, like, what's the bloody A-League? Jesus Christ. But yeah, but I don't know. I think it's, again, there's a lot of good youngsters in the team. You know, like, I always tend to focus on the youngsters. That's just me. But Jelicic is another one I really like. I'm going to really interested to see him. He's back there again. So he's going to be a key part of them. I like some of the young centre-backs they brought in. Bility and Fokranis, probably one of them. Even Harrington. I know Zakovic had one of those you know, headline moments. I call him the best young centre-back in the country. It's a bit insane to say right now, but that's it, something at least to watch. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a good solid squad, but I don't know. And even J.O. Shea, for example, like he's one of my favorite players, but 36 now, it's like how much, like his back is broken from that carrying he's done for the past four or five seasons now. Like, man, just like give him a good squad to work with, man. Poor guy.
Yeah, I Pat, I'll go to you in a sec. Because I actually had the same thing as Jake. I took the under, and I do have them bottom at the moment, but more so because like someone had to be bottom, to be honest with you. And I'm just not sure. I think my thing is a bit more probably a coaching thing a little bit too. Like I don't think Ruben Zakovic is like a terrible coach. And actually I thought there were moments in the second half of last season where they put in some really good performances. And he showed in certain games that he's got the ability to get something out of this squad. But I think that you know, they've gone younger like everyone else, but they've gone, you know, quite young. They've also, like, a lot of their signings, so like Ben Warland, you know, Ben Halloran, even Van der Sarg, like, so all three they got from Adelaide United, for example. Like, how much are they really, for example, going to elevate your team into a finals position? Or are they just your kind of standard kind of average A-League performers who will just be there to kind of help in terms of squad numbers and stuff? Like, I don't know. In saying that, someone like a Ben Halloran could be back in his home state and, you know, feel comfortable again and then have a really good season. I really don't know. For me, they're quite a hard one to predict too. And you know, they've also signed, like, so for example, yeah, Harrington, like Zakovic comes out and puts all the pressure in the world on the guy, by saying that he's, you know, the best young center back in the country. He hasn't even played an early game yet. And then like a couple of the other scholarship signings they made, Casawaya, Brissette, like they could be good, but you just don't know, right? So, I mean, they've come from Sydney FC's NPL team. So, you know, history would tell you that, yeah, they are going to be good. But, you know, it's this is a very unknown quantity. And I just feel there's a lot of kind of meh in the squad as well. But they've also, you know, they're another team that's got a good, really good keeper in Macklin Freak. So, you know, he could help them win some points. Yeah, I feel like I've ran out of words now. Petr, what's your thoughts on Brisbane?
Again, slight under compared to last season. I think In regards to the depth of the squad, I think you are right. I completely agree. I think if we look at their starting 11, their best starting 11 in isolation, I think they have a really good starting 11. You can say, guys like Freek, I think he was, for me, arguably the second best keeper last season in, partly not just because of the saves, but his way of playing with the ball at his feet, his passing, especially mid-range passing, those clip passes to the fullbacks, he's absolutely perfect when it
Well, that,
comes
you
to
know,
that.
sorry, just to interject, because there was a game when they played Sydney FC away, and, you know, we knew Sydney FC last year, how well they were pressing and stuff, and they were able to actually kind of bypass their pressing because of his ability to hit those passes.
I actually remembered something that I wanted to say before I started talking about Brisbane. I wanted to say that I'm still angry with Aloisi for leaving and introducing me to a vibe that Brisbane Roar can maintain. Man, this guy was supposed to be Ange Postecoglou number two. What happened?
Did you notice? Sorry, we're gonna start nerding out now. But like with Freek, like no one was clicking on the fact that like Aloisi was basically using Freek as a third centre back in possession, and it was like very, very interesting. And then he just grew and developed into that kind of ball playing goalkeeper.
What surprised me there is that no one tried to use him this way before that. Like, there was a drastic difference between his style of playing from the previous season and last season. Like, he looked super comfortable playing that role. And yeah, I think he's really good. But to get back to my initial point, I want to say that if you look at their squad, like their starting 11, they have Freek, they have Bilili, Van der Sar. I think if if you use him properly as a bombing, attacking fullback, he's also pretty good. They also have guys like O'Shea, Yelichich, Walid Shore. I'm not sure is that's how you pronounce his name. But the Lebanese midfielder.
Walid Shaw.
He's
Shaw
someone
might
that.
be pronounced differently. Yeah, I'm not sure.
He's also pretty good. They have Berenguer, who's one of my favorite players all time in the league, and Wellingham. So that's a decent core, but I think they maybe needed some more quality around them.
They've also got a few players actually who like injury wise, so like Anthony Bergilroy last year had all sorts of injury problems. Van der Sar is actually quite injury prone as well. Well, at least
Berenguer
that
as well too.
what's up?
Foreign Berenguer is pretty
Berenguer
injury
too.
prone.
So that would also, we just talked about kind of depth with them, and then if you got injury prone players, it just doesn't kind of help. So we're all taking the under on Brisbane. So to finish lower than ninth, is anyone locking that?
I might, yeah. I think
Nope.
I'm gonna lock them in.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really don't see them getting better than ninth, honestly. Like, maybe not necessarily bottom. I'm not gonna lock them in for bottom, but yeah, I don't know.
I think that would be insane. But you're gonna lock the under on Brisbane.
I'm gonna do it.
All right. Okay. Well, good.
Brisbane fans are gonna
That's
kill
been
me for
written
that
down. It's
L.
in writing. It's in writing.
I think. If you are not locking them to be bottom, but just taking the under, I think that's fair.
I think that's fair. That's what. Yeah, that's what. Me and you have done, Petter, but Jack's decided to lock it. So yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Okay. Let's move on. We got a couple more teams. And then we'll take a little break. So Adelaide United. Where I am here in South Australia. So Adelaide United's over under is eighth. And Jake, going back to you again. What are you taking, the over or the under on eighth for Adelaide?
I've got them slightly under. It might think I have them nine. But yeah, I think they'll be a team that, again, like we've seen every bloody team at this point, but gone young, that's probably been their thing. But, you know, like I think that I put it up on social the other day in terms of every single squad sort of youth distribution, like every squad's becoming much younger. So obviously normal, but yeah, I the good thing with Adelaide is they have a proven track record to bring for a lot of really promising youngsters. So I'm sure they'll do well. I think they'll be able to keep them competitive, but yeah, I don't think there'll be a final score, to be honest. I think there's just not enough there to really sort of carry them sort of over that big hump. But yeah, I think they'll probably be like a lot of the teams we've just talked about, like good to watch. I think they have a lot of good youngsters to play. They really, really impressed me with how they played in the semi-final of the Oz Cup. I think they were so unlucky to not get through there because yeah, I think they did bloody great job, sort of away from home there. But yeah, I don't know. But again, probably just not quite enough quality to propel themselves up there.
Header, over under, what are you taking?
I'm going to be the boring one this time and say they'll just finish eighth again. But should mention the fact that I'm like Adelaide and probably Melbourne City, these two teams, I'm the most unsure about them. I feel Adelaide can finish anywhere from like 4 to 10. It's just like I'm really hyped up to see how much of an input their new sporting director will have on them, because I think the way they played in that semi-final, as Jake mentioned, I think that was a bit different from what we've seen from Karol Wiart over the years. I think there was the way the press was coached. I'm not saying that it's not him. It may be an influence from the new assistant coaches. It may be an influence from PSV's part in the project. I'm not sure, but I think the way they pressed and tactically the way they were prepared, they were really, really good. Again, as Jake said, they were unfortunate not to win that one. But yeah, I have them finishing eighth. But I think if things click for them, they could be slightly higher. So
Well,
definitely not working this one.
yeah. So I've taken a slight over. So I've gone seventh, but I'm not locking it yet at all. They're like a one of those poison chalice teams. So I'm definitely not locking anything. But I think it's interesting you talk about Ernest Faber, the new technical director. I think he is, as his role sort of defines as technical director, I think it's very much he's very much going to be involved in the coaching side of things. More so probably than, definitely things like recruitment too, but it seems like that's where a lot of his attention is going to be. So, I think for sure. And actually in conversations, Karl Wirt, when he's been talking to media so far in preseason, also, Isaias too, which was an interview he did with us at Front Page Football, very much. That like multiple times it's been mentioned we're trying to play a different way. We're trying to play a different way. So we're definitely gonna see a different Adelaide United. They've actually been building up with a three in possession throughout the Australia Cup, and we've seen I'm not a massive fan of it, but like Ryan Kiddo's been playing as like a left centre back in possession. Austin Ayoubi has actually been holding width as like a almost like a wing back in possession. So I think like it's interesting. They've got one thing about this squad is like there's a lot of midfielders. And they've got a lot of players who like Luka Jovanovic could take a massive leap this year, for example, or he couldn't. Ethan Aligic could take a massive leap this year. So if a few of those guys were to progress to another level this year, then yeah, I think that makes them a finals team. But if not, then I'm not sure, because also you look around it with the experience, and this is something that me and Antonis have spoken about a lot on the podcast before. If Bart Vreens, for example, is not going to be fully fit for the whole season and ready to go, then all of a sudden you've lost the ability to give someone like Panikikianis a experienced head that he can really learn off and maybe develop a little bit quicker. And then there's someone like Isaias, of course. I think his role is going to be much more sporadic this year. Javi Lopez too. Like, it's still that question of, is there enough experience around these younger players to help them throughout the season? I'm not sure, but I think I think there's enough quality there to for them to push for finals. But it's definitely going to be interesting. A question I actually have for you, Petter, was like the squad balance thing with Adelaide was a big like talking point throughout all last year. Like I said, me and Antonis, we did a podcast last year, talked really in depth about some of the issues we felt we were seeing with Adelaide with their squad balance, things like age profiles, all that sort of stuff. Carl Veer had some interesting comments towards the end of the season. He spoke about how they needed more players in like the middle age bracket. And there was too much of a distance between basically guys who were towards their 30s and under 21. Like what, first of all, what's actually your thoughts on just that general concept of age profiles? And do you think Adelaide have improved that in this offseason?
I think, firstly, that's a great question. I think a lot of people don't give enough importance to this thing because when Carl said that in that press conference, I remember a lot of people across social media having a laugh at it. And sometimes these things are not sometimes, it's always like these things are important because in some squads, you can get like a too big gap, and sometimes like you can see the older players being in one group and the younger players being in another group, and you basically lose the connection, and that's something that's very important at every level. So I think they've addressed that actually this year. We have Tolami, Pereus, I think Ayoub is somewhere in the middle too, 24 maybe.
He'd be my age. He's 22 because I used to play soccer against him in primary school. So yeah, he'd be my age. Anyway.
Yeah, I think he's not a teenager. That's my point. I think he's even coaching kids at the moment. In
23. Late. Sorry, 23. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Stefan Moak's return was a big one for me too. I think especially. In terms of mentoring those young players, I think he had a big impact on Nestorier and Kunde as well. So, yeah, I think they've addressed that problem, quote-unquote, if we can call it a problem. But in terms of profiles, I think, as you mentioned with Kiddo, I was about to say that too. I think tactically they're going to be a lot more interesting this year. But in terms of the having the right profiles for that system, I don't think they're quite there at the moment. Kiddo's definitely much, much more used to playing as an attacking fullback, someone that's bombing forward, someone that's holding with, someone that's going to go 1v1. I don't think he's the Jacob Farrell type of fullback that's going to join the back three, break lines with his passes, etc. And on the same side, as you mentioned, Ayoub, I also think he's someone that's much better between the lines, someone that's good at turning in those half spaces, receiving on the back foot. So maybe when everyone's fit, I think we'll see Fulami playing on that left wing. I think he's much more used to holding the lid, being isolated even 1v2. He's a player that can run at players, retain possession, wait for others to join, make runs. So I think they'll be a fun team to watch. I'm excited about them.
And they've also got, you know, potentially Nestorier and Kunde 2.0 waiting in the wings in Amlani Tartu. But I'm not going to the times are running away from us. It's going to start a whole can of worms, 15-minute conversation if we open that. But they've got, yeah, Amlani, also Malawal Nicola, Fazo Kasumovic, they're all quite highly rated by the club. They signed 3-year deals in the offseason, so beware if they you know, appear through the cracks. The other one is, of course, Archie Goodwin. Now, he said that he'll be ready for round one. I'm kind of believe it when I see it, and hopefully he can get himself right, because potentially with a change of environment, we can see Archie Goodwin back to you know, what he showed when he first burst onto the scene. So yeah, going to be very interesting. Okay, last team before we go to a break, and this is a really interesting one. So Western Sydney Wanderers, always interesting to talk about. Over under for the Wanderers is 7th. Jake, Over, under, what are you taking?
Yeah, I think I have them over here. I feel like it's not an obvious one at this point, but yeah, I think they probably are sort of building one of the better teams in the league. They're probably, arguably, you'd say a contender at the moment, at least sort of looking into all the teams and how they're building. I like how they've sort of gone. I really, really like the signing of Tae Wook. I forgot his first name, but
Jong.
Jeong Tae Wook. That's right. Yep. He looks very good. That's a really impressive signing there. I know a player with a lot of reputation from South Korea, so that's really good. And even then, like simply, obviously the obvious ones matter. You know, everyone knows how good he is. Obviously, they just got to keep him fit. But even keeping Milanovic, for example, I feel like that's massive. Like, I think he's, you know, he went from here to here, but I think he's going to go even further this season. I think he's going to have another season to build on what he's already sort of showing. And I think he can honestly become one of the better players in the league this season. I'm
I think
massive
Milanovic is a
fan.
Johnny Warren medal
Yeah,
contender.
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, he is
Yeah.
unbelievable. When we're talking profiles, I love him. I'd like to see him maybe even used a little bit more centrally this season, even though I think he's unbelievable out wide too. But I don't know. I think he's sort of got that ability in and around the box to get more goals. I don't know. I love Nikola Milanovic. So I'm like, when we talk 50-minute conversations, I'm gonna stop it now on him because I could go all day. He'd love him, but yeah, I don't know. I really like their squad. We'll have to see how Stag goes. Obviously, we've sort of talked before on Perth. Maybe he's a little bit shaky there. How that went. Again, it's going to be a different club now, Western Sydney. Can he sort of show what he's shown before? Obviously, working with the Mariners, for example, did very well there. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I like how they're building at least. And yeah, I think they've got a little bit of that X factor to, yeah, maybe be a contender this season.
Are you locking that? That sounded,
Yeah,
you were
I think
talking
I
with a
might
lot of
actually. Yeah.
conviction.
Like, surely they'll make finals. Like, if they don't make finals, that is abysmal, like, for what they have. But yeah.
Okay, so you're locking it. Yeah,
I'll do
okay.
it.
All right. Petter?
I think we will all agree on this. I think I have them a slight over as well. I think we can make a whole poll on the Wanderers, man. I think there's so much to talk about them. Honestly, Juan Mata was my favorite player 10 years ago. So yeah, I was heartbroken when he joined Man United back in
Man,
the day,
people see
but yeah.
what,
I'm really excited.
Mata. Sorry, no, just I just have to because again, the Chelsea stuff, like people because Mata, like obviously, he played longer at Man U, so people, kind of, I think, remember that more. But like Mata's best years were at Chelsea, I think
Yeah,
that's
undoubtedly.
unbelievable player. So, yeah, as you were saying though, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about Chelsea all day, but in regards to Mata, I think it should be said that he's one of the most intelligent football players I've ever seen, really. And I'm not talking just on the pitch, but off the pitch. He's someone that's he's basically not just a football guy. I think he has two university degrees. He's does a lot of charity. I think he's involved in a academy in Spain too. Don't quote me on that one, but I think he's basically someone that has loads of different interests, and I think he can be so valuable for young players in Sydney. And even if he doesn't get that much time, I don't think he'll be a prima donna. Like, I don't think he'll be the type of Del Piero marquee that's going to have his own changing room and stuff like that. I think Mata's going to be a massive part of, even if you want to include him as part of the coaching staff, I think he's going to have a massive difference on the players. And in regards to Milanovic, I think, as you said already, I think it depends on how the season goes for the Wanderers, but I think he has the potential to be a Johnny Warren. There's no doubt. I think similarly to Nishan, I think he's one of the young A-League players that deserves to be in contention for the soccer rules. So yeah, surprised that they managed to keep him, but if he has a great, let's say, a Moy type of season where he completely destroyed the league, I think he can get a really, really big move in the future.
Okay, so we're gonna have a slight, a first sort of disagreement here. I'm taking the under on the Wanderers.
That's a big call.
But it is a big call. But I think again, I should say, like, this is probably more because the teams that are I think are gonna be in front of them. And also one thing we haven't spoken about here is Alan Stadich and whether he's got the ability to get the best out of this team. And I think what's interesting, I was actually thinking about this today with Stadich, is if you look at like his last few jobs, I think the Perth one, I'm really not going to factor into this because it's just such a, a situation where you've got, the clubs in receivership and your hands are tied. It's very difficult to judge. But I just think he's a coach who's almost more well suited to an underdog team, to a team that doesn't have expectation. And I'm not sure how he is going to go maybe with the expectation and the scrutiny which comes with coaching the Western Sydney Wanderers and now entering, what is it, year seven of the finals drought, or maybe, no, I think that might be nice. I think it's like closer to 10. But every year now with the Wanderers, it's can they, will they make the finals? Will they make the finals? What am I talking about? They made the finals a couple of years ago. I think it's they've made one finals appearance though in like
One
six.
more.
So, it's that sort of pressure brings with it interesting sort of things, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he copes with that because now you've. But I think what I mean is the Mata signing too now brings a certain sort of okay. Well, you've got a player of that quality, of that marquee sort of experience. You've been able to hold on to Milanovic, so you've got potentially one of the better, the one of the better wingers in the league is in your squad still too. Someone like Kraev, who I'm actually surprised our Bulgarian friend here has not mentioned at all yet. But who's been there and done that at Wellington. He's well accustomed to contributing at a high level in this league, a good keeper and Lawrence Thomas. Like you look at the squad and you think this has to be a top 16. I thought last year, I remember looking at this squad and thinking, I feel like this has to be a top three team. Like, but maybe, it might just be I'm a little bit scarred with them and I just think, I just can't trust them. I think it's a little bit of that too. But yeah, I think there's other teams maybe I trust a little bit more, but if they were to finish fourth or fifth, I probably wouldn't be surprised either. So, very, very interesting to see how it works. I mean, going forward, another player I want to mention as well, Alex Badolato, who's been given the number 10 shirt too this year. I'm intrigued to see what sort of development we see from him this year. Alex Bonatig has looked really good in the Australia Cup. So another one as well is James Temelkovski, who they signed from the NPL and Marconi. He was obviously here a couple years ago with Metro Stars, had an unbelievable season. So again, another team with who I think, to use what Petter has described with some of the teams, I think is going to be very interesting to watch for sure this season to see what Alan Stadich does with the team too. I think in the Australia Cup game, like in the Adelaide United game, the quarterfinal, they were using a back three in possession, if I'm not mistaken. So could we see a bit of that? I think, Stadich used that with Perth last year too. So yeah, it's a team that like to use, I think, Petty, you said this about Adelaide before, like could finish, like third to 10th. Like I feel a little bit like that with the Wanderers where they could finish from like anywhere from second or third to ninth, So yeah, very interested to see how they go. Any like, so Jake locked the over. Teddy, are you locking or no?
No, I'm not locking this one. Just a quick one on Kraev. The one thing that I want to mention is on the midfield part, I'm really interested to see how Star's going to manage that because they have loads of these winger slash number 10s profiles because I don't consider Milanovic to be a real winger. I don't consider Kraev to be a real winger. I definitely don't consider a 75-year-old Juan Mata to be a winger. And Barolato, I think he's not really a number 9 too. He's more of a in between the lines number 10 attacker type of profile. So yeah, I think they basically have just like one or two central midfielders who can be pivot players, so that's going to be an interesting one. I think Kraev, obviously, if he's a week in week out starter, I think he'll produce. But I think he's going to face a lot more competition with the Wanderers here.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not locking mine either. By the way, I only think they're going to finish slightly under that seventh. So yeah, nothing too controversial, I don't think. All right, let's take a little break, because it's been about an hour or so. We'll take a little break, and then when we come back, we've got six more teams to go through before we finish up. So that was part one of our massive over-unders A-League Men season preview podcast. Tomorrow, we will have part two out, so you can hear our over-unders for the remaining six teams in the competition then. Hopefully, you enjoyed the concept of over-unders in part one, and you can hear me with Petter and Jake for part two tomorrow. Catch you then.